I think the Lord is pleased when we make much of a celebration of his incarnation. And I know that we do that really in messed up ways sometimes. And even my family, I'm sure there's even some sin mixed into our shopping. But overall, I do think that the Lord is pleased when we make much of such an important day that changed the whole story. It was That's like right. God's arrival into our scene.
Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Thank you. What'd you get for Christmas this year?
I'll tell you what I dream of getting. There's two major purchases that I dream of getting. Have I told you this before? I'm sure I have.
No.
Well, one was a smoker, but I got that.
Talked about that one.
I got that this summer. And I'll throw in an aside from your aside. Right now, Mark, this is appropriate for the holidays, but right now on the day that we're recording this, there's a turkey that's being brined in my life. Is that exciting?
Why? You're going to do a test run?
Well, because I won't be yes, we're having early Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Because I'm going to be in Texas for true Thanksgiving, and I'm not going to be near my smoker that I love. So I have to use the smoker this
Good.
Weekend.
That makes me happy that you're going to give it a go this year, even though you're not there at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I gotta cock that spatch.
You spatch that cock, but
I got to cut out that spine. I want to cut the spine out of that mother.
I was listening to the episode we recorded where we talked about your smoker and how to do the turkey on the smoker. When we recorded that episode, we talked about Thanksgiving and we talked about how excited we were for the Texas A&M football game.
Mm.
And then we got more excited between the time we recorded that and last week, right? A week and a half ago, those Aggies dropped one to a scrub team and are no longer in the runnings.
Oh, they're in the runnings, my friend.
Oh, really? So that was my question. Are we still fired up about this game?
Yeah, I mean, it'll have long been decided by the time this episode airs, but yes, the Texas A&M game will knock the loser out of playoff contention. And it will knock the winner into the playoff picture.
Fun. Okay.
It'll be super significant. And if you think that there's an ongoing arm wrestling match between me and my wife about whether we're going to drop the coin to actually attend that game, you are correct. That is an ongoing arm wrestling match.
And what kind of coin are they looking for those tickets?
Tickets are generally running about $1,000. As if it were a national championship game.
Man.
Aggies are passionate about beating the Longhorns. That's
it's in College Station?
It's in College Station.
Ooh. Yeah, that's the only thing I can tell you as a financial advisor is that one of the things we like to do when we're planning for big expenses like this is say, well, what other expenses might be coming? And one thing I can tell you with pretty high confidence based on the last few weeks is that you won't have to worry about how am I going to fund my trip to the NBA Finals to see those Mavericks this year because they are stinking the joint up. So go ahead
and
support the Aggies because you're not going to need to go see Luka in the Finals this year.
No, my thought is we could take those funds the would-be football game funds and buy 0.02 of a Bitcoin with them.
Ooh,
that's my thought. Let's finish answering the question.
Yeah. What's the wish list? Sorry.
I feel unsatisfied until we answer the question. I want in my, we have a little room in the downstairs where the TV sits. I don't think that's a very comfortable room. And I would like a love seat recliner in that room. And so that is so like a corny dad. That's such a corny dad look that my wife has real problems getting her head around making that purchase. I don't want it to be comfortable. The second thing I want, and I've told myself that I'm not going to buy this for the time being, but I would like an electric bicycle. I want one of those.
You and Kyla, man, my oldest daughter, that's what she thinks she wants. But
yeah,
I chalk it up for her too. That's a want that's only going to last about another, 14 months until we have a driver's license.
Oh, right. So here we are. I'm sorry, everyone. You might have turned us off by now because you're like, that was five precious minutes of my Christmas day or my Christmas week, whenever you're listening to this. And we do not want to take a lot of your time today. We want you to get back to it. We just wanted to give a little episode today about doing Christmas. And we want you to Christmas it up. Okay, so is this worth a little bit of hype? Is this worth some razzle dazzle? See if this rings a bell to anybody. Listen to these words. Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you. As people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It will be fuel for the fire, because unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Does that sound like anything worth celebrating at all? Does that sound like worth throwing the emergency brake on all of our plans once a year and saying, stop everything. We have to give glory to the greatest gift ever given to mankind, which is the Son of God coming in flesh. Am I right?
Amen. 100% yes.
I mean, this is one of the greatest days of the year. Do it up. I don't know if you saw my post recently on Mark, but I was just saying to somebody that we can be a little fuss budgety about, the historians. If you do the backtracking of all the stars, have you ever seen that thing where they can go backwards and see what is the Christmas star and when was it actually over this area?
I don't know this astrology.
Well, there are these programs where they can track the motion of stars and they can turn the dial, like literally the computers can turn the dial back and go, what was happening, in Israel? I think my memory says, I've done no research for this episode. I think it's Jupiter that comes and makes this unusually bright thing. It doesn't happen very often, as you might imagine. And everyone says Jesus was probably born at Sukkot. That would sort of make sense in the story of all of the festivals, and Jesus probably was born in September, early September, not December 25th, the way the Catholics made this mass, and with the Yule log, and you shouldn't have Yule logs. And there's a verse that says, don't get a Christmas tree in the, okay. If you don't want to do any of that stuff, you don't have to do any of those things. And I'm not a proponent of going, you got to have a Christmas tree or whatever. But let's not strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, which is the camel would be not celebrating with everything we got this wonderful time of year.
Can I just interrupt for 1 second?
Sure.
I have a metaphorical bucket of cold water and I'm going to huck it. onto something I hear, I think, amongst the Abrahamic circles. I don't hear this very often outside of kind of our group of people, but it's people get really into these Jewish festivals, for example, and they're like, Sukkot, what a meaningful thing. And yeah. I see it right there in the scriptures. I understand why we're celebrating it, because it was commanded as a celebration for the rest of time.
Yeah.
And they don't see that with the Christmas holiday the way that we celebrate it, meaning there's not a prescribed festival.
It's not in the Bible. It's true.
And I guess, understandably, a lot of these people go, hey, guys, what are we supposed to do? Because all of these people around us who haven't been enlightened like we have, they think it's like Christian to celebrate Christmas. And I would just say, I would take the bucket. I would throw the bucket of cold water on that idea and say, in general, young Padawan, be really careful chucking out any tradition that has been the practice of virtually 100% of your Christian forebearers. Not to say that we just swallow it all and that tradition means we don't challenge it, but be careful with that. And like you said, Stephen, I just want to be a loud voice of, I think the Lord is pleased when we make much of a celebration of his incarnation. And I know that we do that really in messed up ways sometimes. And even my family, I'm sure there's even some sin mixed into our shopping and our Christmas Eve is my favorite. I'm just going to say it's my favorite day of the year. We have some traditions. Some of them are just pure joy and fun. And maybe there's even a twinge of overeating that happens. I don't know. But overall, I do think that the Lord is pleased when we make much of such an important day that changed the whole story. It was like God's arrival into our scene. And so I just want to say that, and you may continue now.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I say let's not try to get analytical about this. Let's get emotional about it. Let's just rejoice. So gather the kids together, get them in the snuggles. Everybody's got their pajamas on, and remember the gift of the Savior and pray together, thanking God that the yoke of oppression has been lifted. My one kind of tip, by the way, we will have posted on the Christmas story. I have a little document I just want to give to fathers. If you're wondering now, what do we read Luke 2 or should we read Matthew 2 or what parts of these? I have a little document that goes, well, here's all the pertinent scriptures. Here you are, Dad. Knock yourself out. So we'll be given that.
How do you get that,
Steve? It'll be on Ur. So
what the heck is Ur?
Well, Ur is where all of our donors congregate online. So the people that make this little effort that you're enjoying right now, the people that make it happen by donating anything to us, and you can go to abrahamswallet.com/donate to get into Ur. One of the things that we would like to give our folks is, hey, let's all be in the same place online together. And so we chat it up there. And so we're going to furnish them with that little document. I can do things like that very easily because I'm in contact with everybody. I cannot hand documents over the airwaves to our listeners. The one kind of tip that I have, and this is dependent on the age of your children. If you've got four-year-olds, hey man, just get out the nativity, get the moo cows and the sheep and tell the story however you got to for them to understand it. And you got yourself a win there. If the kids are a little older, my one little tip, kind of like the pushback on American celebration, is we really have no idea what it means to have this yoke of oppression. I was reading from Isaiah chapter 9, this bar on our shoulders has been removed, and it's easy for us to go, yay. And we're thinking, what bar of oppression? Wait, it's going pretty good for us. So you might do a little review to add some drama to the story and start with talking about, guys, let's talk about what life was like for God's people before Jesus came. Some of these Old Testament laws, you could say, I'll give you a little laundry list of things to consider. There were burnt offerings that were required. There were grain offerings required. There were peace offerings. There were sin offerings, guilt offerings, sacrifices for violating vows, sacrifices to cleanse your home and possessions, sacrifices for violating sacred spaces and articles, sacrifices for rebellion or any defiance against any authority, sacrifices for unintentional sins, even entire days of sacrifices for anything we might have missed. You have to travel to Jerusalem 3 times a year, no matter where you live, no matter what it costs you. You have to only eat certain kind of foods. And even the foods you do eat have to be handled a specific kind of way. And blood's got to be handled this specific kind of way. And into that demanding scenario, which frames up your life as an Israeli, it frames up your calendar, it frames up your week, it frames up your day, it frames up what you eat, who will be in your house, who you will have relations with, who you won't talk to, who you can marry. I mean, completely dictating your life. It's just sitting on your life. And into that scenario rode the one who would deliver not just Israel, but all people from the curse of guilt and death. And when Isaiah says in chapter 9, this rod of oppression that was on our shoulders is broken because a son was given to us. And now, according to Hebrews, there is no sacrifice that remains for sin. Now, I want my teenagers to be able to appreciate that story. I want them to really understand what Jesus has done that we might truly rejoice together about that. So that's my one thought.
I'll just tell you what... This is my plug for Bible reading throughout the year, is that we had no plan for where we were going to end up. We just kind of tend to pick a book and go through that book of the Bible before dinner. And I noticed the other day, we have been in Genesis for a while, and we are going to be right around Moses and Egypt time come Christmas, which is another... We've been in Joseph recently, the story of Joseph, and it's just, you see the setup coming from 10 miles away that you're like, oh wow, Joseph went into the pit and things were looking terrible. And then look, it was for the good of the family, Israel's family, that God sent Joseph down into that pit, and now he can take care of him. They have this wet, sloppy, crying, hugging reunion with the brothers. And then my littlest goes, they're all moving to Egypt, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, what does that make you think about? And she's like, well, they're gonna get enslaved there. Mm-hmm. And so the story, like, it's just a plug for wherever you are, if you're just reading a little bit of Bible to your family every night, I guarantee you, I don't care if you're in the Minor Prophets or if you're in the New Testament, come Christmas time, there's going to be direct, relevant, this is how that story we've been reading for the last 6 weeks has direct relevance to this. And so for us, it'll be, wow, there was literal slavery. It was a part of the story God wrote with his chosen people from very, very early. And I just think it's super cool. So I guess we're doing this on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking to yourself back in November, start reading the scripture daily. And if you're just hearing this now,
well,
do it now.
It's funny that you mentioned reading to your family, because next week, to kind of kick off your year, we are going to give you dads a shot in the arm. Well, all we want to give you is a hug and a high five and say, go get them this year, because those small things like reading to your family at dinner, a little portion of the Bible, it matters. I'm going to end today by rejoicing with you. And I'm going to read the wonderful words of Charles Wesley. You ready for this? Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Have a great Christmas day, everybody.